verses 3 and 5. Verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase. God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's pray, and I give you three things, put it this way, signs of the times. You hear about signs of the times, you know, like the end times and stuff like that. Well, these are signs of the times when Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's some signs of those times, but let's pray first. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for a good day out. Thank you for testimony of salvation with Willie. And Lord, I pray you got saved, and I think you did. But I pray that he could grow and learn what he needs to learn, and be a faithful witness for you, be a faithful ambassador for you. And help us tonight, Lord, just help us understand this psalm. And really, it's a really hopeful and glorious psalm, talking about the future, talking about when Jesus Christ is reigning and your will is being done on the earth. And I pray you'd help us really, really look forward to that time and make our investments for that time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when Jesus Christ, one of the things he told the disciples about praying, he said, you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a description of all that being done, the will of God being accomplished on the earth. And it's the time when Jesus Christ will be reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's a description. All of these things are descriptions in the verses, descriptions of that time period. And I want to show you some cross references to these verses, and just show you where it is in the Bible, and give you three points. Like the way this psalm is broken down, it's kind of three sections. You got the descriptions. Verses 1 and 2, then the chorus, then you got another description in verse 4, then a chorus, then you got another description in verses 6 and 7. And so we'll break it down into those three descriptions there. And the first one really deals with, he says in verse 1, God be merciful unto us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. All right? Sometimes, before we describe it here, sometimes there is the idea, or some folks have the idea, that Gentile salvation was like a sort of a plan B, and if the Jews don't work out, then God will go to the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, the plan was always to go to the Gentiles, and God was going to use the Jews to do that. And whether the Jews were obedient or disobedient, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, was going to be a light to other nations, whether in obedience or disobedience. But the plan would always be to cover the earth with the glory of God and make all nations understand who their Creator is and love their Creator and all those things. And so he mentions that in verse 2, that thy saving health among all nations, all the earth will understand, and universally the way of the Lord will be known and accepted when Jesus Christ returns. That will be one of the signs of the times. I mean, in the current situation, and you guys understand this, but in the current situation, you have a present evil world where Jesus Christ is not... He's not controlling this world. He's not the God of this world. Of course, the devil is the God of this world. And so that's why the world is the way it is. And we just kind of, I think, get used to that. We may like some aspects of that, but we get used to it for the most part. And it's very difficult to imagine a time where the devil is not running things or not You know, people talk about conspiracies and all that stuff. There's been a conspiracy against God and for the devil to overthrow God since day one. I mean, it's been going on for a long time, and because this guy's involved or this guy's involved, well, all these people, they'll pass off the scene, but the conspiracy and the overthrow or the attempt to overthrow the Creator from His creation is always going to be there as long as the devil is the God of this world. But eventually, he won't be the God of this world. And that is going to be a glorious day for some people, hopefully for everybody here. But that will be a glorious day when Jesus Christ takes His rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the nations, He says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let me give you a couple verses about all of that. Look in the book of Habakkuk. That's almost at the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's see, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, if that helps you any. Yeah, there you go. Page 1362. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. A description of the signs of those times, of the times in the future here. He says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That is a glorious time that you and I, we cannot, I don't want to say it's difficult, it's almost impossible to imagine a time like that in earth, because we have spent all of our years under the curse and just dealing with the pleasures of sin and the consequences of sin and just living life according to the ways of this world. And this point in time when the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be such a completely different time, but a good time. And the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So the way of the Lord, David put it this way in the psalm, would be known universally and accepted universally. Here's another one in the New Testament. Look over in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, dealing with the covenant in Jesus Christ, says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Can you imagine such a time like that? "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Now, it starts at the house of Israel, but it will cover the earth. But it starts at the house of Israel. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth waxeth old is ready to vanish away." And he goes on to describe the covenant. But he talks about a time where the knowledge of God permeates people. Let me give you a little, example of that. When you trusted Jesus Christ, if you have, when you trusted Jesus Christ, your body didn't change any bit. Your flesh and blood didn't change at all. But there's coming a day when your soul will be wrapped in flesh and blood, that is fashioned like Jesus Christ's body, that has no sin nature in it. So there's not a desire, there's not a desire to displease God, there's not a desire to just wander around and do things on my own. And we can't even imagine such a time, but where all of your desires are to please God for righteousness, for goodness, for kindness, and that's because there's no nature. The body is changed, and if you know, these bodies come with the nature of their own that really put demands on your soul and want you to do things that aren't right and all that kind of stuff. Talks about in Galatians the works of the flesh and all that stuff. But there's coming a day when, after Jesus Christ, after God the Father has justified, you've trusted Jesus Christ, and God the Father has justified your soul, justified you, and said, I promise now, I will give you a new body, an incorruptible body, a body fashioned like Jesus Christ's body that had no sin in it, never saw corruption, and that body, you may not look exactly like Jesus Christ. I think you'll probably look like you look like now, maybe just like he says in Job, where you're just younger, and you're just, he says that the flesh was not even like a baby, but less than that. It wasn't even that much wear and tear on it. What an amazing time that would be and will be. But you'll have bodies that match what's inside of you, match the righteousness God has placed in you, and this body will want to please God and want to serve God. And so that's what he says. I'm going to put their my laws in their minds and their hearts, and so this people that I will use to cover the earth and judge the earth and help me rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords will have all of their desires will line up with the will of God perfectly, and that'll be something else. So that's one characteristic. That whole thing, the way of the Lord, will be universally known and accepted, starting of course in Israel, and then covering the whole earth as time goes on. The next thing, go back to Psalm 67 and see this second thing here. There will be righteous governing. All right. In comparison, every news cycle that we watch deals with politicians, deals with lies, deals with who's trying to manipulate who, and it's just this world is run by a monster. But there's a day coming. Look in verse 4, Psalm 67, 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. So there will be righteous governing upon the entire earth. That comes with, notice, joy, that comes with righteousness. All of these things are a product of, when I read that, I think of this. Hearing the news doesn't inspire joy in me. But there's coming a day when you hear the news and it will inspire joy. When whatever Jesus Christ is doing in Israel and whatever is going on the earth and whatever becomes of the media, whatever becomes of the news, it will be righteousness and joy that will spread throughout the entire earth. It reminds me of when Mordecai, all that stuff with Esther, and the end of that book with Mordecai, he is ruling with Ahasuerus, and he says, and he sought the wealth of his people, and there was joy and peace among his people. And he's a great type of Jesus Christ in that book, the book of Esther. Mordecai is, but that's the characteristic, one of the characteristics of righteous governing. There's joy with the people, and of course righteousness. And let me show you a good good set of cross references. Look in Isaiah chapter 11. There's some good chapters here about Jesus Christ reigning in righteousness. Isaiah chapter 11, I mean, you could just read the whole chapter practically. We'll read a few verses here. But it's a great cross-reference to righteous government in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." That's the second coming. That's the return of Jesus Christ. Notice this again about righteousness. Verse 5, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Watch what happens in nature. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." So, nature changes. "And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Can you imagine? I mean, that's children leading around leopards and wolves and lions and nature. All I can think of nature is, you know, kind of like dog eat dog. I can't imagine a time where a lion doesn't have an appetite for blood, or a wolf doesn't have an appetite for blood, or a serpent doesn't have an appetite to poison anything. "You have a little child shall lead them," he says. Verse 7, "And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together." So you got a little teddy bear, and you got a mother bear, and then you got a little cow, and you got a calf, and they're all just kind of hanging out. What a time that would be. Verse 7, "The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp." That's a snake. "And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." You remember that verse? That was in Habakkuk. That's a description of those times. Let's see. We'll keep reading. Look in verse 10. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek." So other nations, look at Israel. Look at who's reigning in Israel. Look at characteristics of the nature of Israel and what's going on in that land. And then he says this, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign for the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." So he gathers them all up. And let's see. Verse 16, "There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Look in chapter 12 now. Great description. "And in that day," chapter 12, verse 1, "that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. There it is again. Known in all, I mean, this time is just incredible. So you've got the way of the Lord being known in all the earth. You've got nature completely, I don't want to say turned upside down. You've just got nature the way it was supposed to be. Just what it's supposed to be. What we observe is nature perverted and the thing out of whack and the thing under a curse and sin and all that stuff. And like Paul says, I mean, he says even the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God and all that kind of thing. So now you have nature returned to its former right way it was supposed to be. And he mentions all those things in Isaiah 11. It's great stuff. So here's the last thing. Along with those things, you've got righteous governing. The people are joyful. The nations are coming to see the righteousness of God and the light in Israel. And it's just a glorious time. Time we can't even imagine, begin to imagine. And then this last part, Psalm 67, verse 6. He says this. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That particular phrase there in verse 6, the earth, then shall the earth yield her increase. So currently, under the current situation, the earth is constrained. It's hindered by a curse, and it competes with weeds and thorns, and the fruit can't get all that it needs because it's in constant competition with other things that it really aren't supposed to be there, and so there's just this constraint on growth, and I mean, you try to, you guys grow gardens, you have to weed it, you have to make sure that everything's in its place and everything's not being eaten, and the creatures aren't eating, the bugs aren't eating it, the ants aren't getting to it, the whatever else isn't getting to it. And so that is all consequences of the curse. But there's coming a day when the Bible says in this time when the earth will actually yield its increase and will act the way it was intended to act in the beginning. Let me give you a couple verses on that one, because this is going to be a great time. Amos, look in Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. Amos, Ezekiel, Hosea, or Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Chapter 9 and verse 13. And let me look at one more here, make sure. Yeah. All right, Amos 9:13. About the earth yielding her increase. Watch this. This is great. The Bible says, Behold, Amos 9:13, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. So you've got somebody harvesting and somebody preparing to plant immediately behind the harvest. There's one right after the other. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. So you have the curse removed, you have the hindrances to growth removed, and now the earth is free to just yield its increase the way God intended, and it is so productive that you have people harvesting, people going right behind the harvesters to plow, to replant, and right on top of that, he says, and the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. So somebody's sowing the seed and harvesting immediately after that. And all of this is the way God intended it to be. This is how he made things to be, until the devil came in and sin entered the world and death and the curse and all of these things that showed up as a result of sin, where growth is hindered, thorns and thistles. Man's going to have to get all this, whatever fruit he does get, he's going to get by the sweat of his brow. And so he's just going to have to work hard to get a little bit out of the earth. But at this time, you remove all those hindrances, and now the earth just pours forth fruitfulness. I mean, what an incredible time. Somebody asked me a while back, actually several people, I think, they said, what are you going to be doing when the Lord comes back? I mean, is it going to be kind of boring? No, you're going to be harvesting fruit on a regular basis and probably trying to figure out, how do we eat all this food? I mean, there's going to be so much abundance and probably so much generosity as a result of it. I mean, when you have a whole bunch of stuff, it's just, hey, come over, we're going to eat this, we're going to have this. Just an incredible time of abundance when Jesus Christ returns, and just the earth is going to pour forth like God intended it. I'll give you one more in Ezekiel to wrap this up. Ezekiel chapter 34. I think that the hardest thing to try to wrap our minds around, because you've never lived in any other scenario other than under the curse and dealing with life the way it is in sin, you just can't imagine a time like this. Just incredible. Ezekiel chapter 34. Oh, Thirty-four, twenty-six. Just read a couple of these verses. It says, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing." That's where you get the song from, Ezekiel 34:26. Verse 27, "And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke." That's like the curse. There have been hindrances to this increase. There have been things that have held back, but now all that's been broken. "And delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. They shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid." As this particularly talking about Israel, and specifically when Jesus Christ returning to Israel and starting in Israel doing these things, and then of course eventually over the 1,000-year period, all this will cover the earth. But you got three characteristics in that psalm of regeneration when Jesus Christ returns that really characterize the signs of those times, or are the signs of those times. You've got number one, the knowledge of the Lord around the whole earth. All the earth will be filled with his glory, says. Second thing is, no more corrupt politicians or any of that stuff. Now you have righteousness in charge. What a time that will be. And on top of that, the next thing is the curse is removed and the earth is free to just pour forth fruit the way God intended it to happen. I mean, you just can't can't imagine what a time that will be. And it's no wonder that the Lord over and over says, look, this time that you have, this little time that you have, does not even begin to compare to the glory that's going to be. It doesn't even begin to compare. And we've just read a few verses. I just gave you a few verses tonight. There are so many verses that talk about this. It's incredible and it's great and it's wonderful. And no wonder the Lord says, look, when you pray, pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when that happens, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these verses. Thank you for these words. I pray they've been an encouragement. I know they've been an encouragement to me. Just read and think about this time, and it's so much better than thinking about what's going on in this world. Thank you for these words. Thank you for letting us know what's going to happen and letting us know the future and your intended future, your restoration of all things. And really putting things back in the order that they were meant to be in. And removing the hindrances and the curses and the things that have come as a result of sin. And thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to destroy the works of the devil and to take away the sin of the world and restore and reconcile all things back to God. What a great time that will be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.